So hello and welcome, and in this episode I want to talk about multicellular organisms. These are organisms, living things that are made of many cells, and those multicellular organisms, they are characterized by one important thing, and this is called cell differentiation. And I'm going to talk about this, and what it means. You have to understand the following, that multicellular organisms, let's take us humans as an example here, are made of millions, billions, in the case of humans, 100 trillion cells. And those cells are all different, not all, most, many of them are different to each other. So we have a few hundred different cell types in our body. Humans have a few hundred different cell types. However, the cells have pretty much the same DNA. But a nerve cell, for example, looks very different from a muscle cell, from a skin cell, from a cell in the liver, you get the idea, even though they have the same DNA. After the egg cell was fertilized, we had then one cell, the very first cell that we were once, okay? So the question is now the following: how is it possible that we are now made of 100 different cell types, even though the DNA is the same, and even though at the very beginning there was only one cell type? This is so-called the zygote, the fertilized egg cell. So this is kind of an interesting thing here, is how it's possible to have from one cell type, the zygote, so many different cells, even though the DNA is the same inside of our body. And the short answer is that, yes, while the DNA is the same, not all of the DNA is used all of the time. So to give you an example, the skin, my skin, they have also carries the DNA on, let's say, how to digest food. But this DNA is not active because the skin doesn't have to digest food. So this is a little bit the idea here is that, or this is the answer, is that the DNA is some parts of the DNA are switched off and are packaged away inside the cell and not used. So the next thing is, how are those cells called that are able to make the other cell types? So for example, how is the first, the zygote, the fertilized egg cell, how is this, what type of cell is that? These are so-called stem cells, and those stem cells are not differentiated. So they're still very general, and they have the possibility to differentiate, to specialize, and to form other cell types. And these cells are called stem cells, those stem cells have also the ability to divide, and they continually divide, and as they divide, they become more and more specialized. So from stem cells, you have all of the different cell types form. And the process is basically called specialization. So while the cells differentiate, they specialize. And the different cells of the body also do something that we call division of labor. So they're kind of splitting up the work. Yeah. So skin cells are specialized to cover the body, and to serve as a protection. The nerve cells in the brain are very good and specialized to conduct nerve impulses for communication inside the body and so on. You get the idea. But this specialization also has a disadvantage. It basically makes the cells more dependent on each other. So it is not possible for you to take a skin cell and put it on the table and it's able to continue to survive. That's not going to work, obviously. So the cells depend more on each other. And we see this concept of specialization also not only inside multicellular living things, but we also see it in society in general. Simply to use a comparison here, you have in our society, you have got teachers, you've got doctors, lawyers, bus drivers, whatever. And they're all specialized in a certain area. However, there's also a stronger interdependence. So it means that we need to work together in order to survive. Single-celled, unicellular organisms, however, they do not show this specialization, they do not show this differentiation, and they have to do all of the things on their own, but they're also able to survive on their own. If you put a paramecium into water, it's able to survive on its own, right? Because it doesn't differentiate, it's because it's not a multicellular, it's a single-celled organism. So that's basically one thing. What I wanted to talk about, and another thing is that multicellular organisms, they show something called emergent properties. And that's an interesting concept, which is a little bit difficult for me to explain. But you have to understand that multicellular organisms can do things that individual cells cannot do. Because an emergent property is a property that appears when different parts are working together. So, for example, I'm going to give you a non-biology example. I mean, you all have seen already on a beach, there are those in the sand, there are those ripples, right? So little, in the sand, because of the waves that go over the ocean, there are those, the sand is not completely flat, but there are those ripples. How do the sand grains actually know that they have to make ripples? You see, it's a pattern that you have, but it just appears, and it appears out of the interaction of the sand grains and the water and the air and the wind. Yeah, it just appears. It's an emergent property. The sand grains don't know that. It's simply something that appears due to the interaction of the different parts. Or, for example, your ability to think and to have a memory is because billions of nerve cells in your brain are interacting and working together. And then you have the emergent property that allows you to think, is the thinking part, right? So this is, so emergent properties are things that can only be explained because of the interaction and the working together of different parts of the system. And this is something that multicellular organisms show. In other words, there's this nice saying of this old Greek philosopher, and he said it's the following: the whole, not the whole where you have a hole in the earth, yeah, but the whole, the total, okay? That's what I mean, the whole with a W. The total is more than the sum of its parts. So you cannot simply explain a multicellular organism by studying the individual cells. You cannot understand a human being by studying the individual cells. I'm not able to read your mind by simply studying the individual nerve cells. Okay? Even though the information is stored in the nerve cells, I'm not able to read your mind. Maybe they're able to do this in a couple of years. I don't know. They're working on it. But you have to understand that there are certain things that can only be understood if you look at the whole organism together and how the cells interact with each other. And this is called an emergent property, which, basically are characteristics that appear due to the interaction of many different cells. Okay? Yeah, so that means there is the example here, a tiger can hunt and kill, and it has a profound ecological effect. Yeah, so a tiger can hunt and kill. Hunting and killing other animals is an emergent property. But you are not able to understand hunting and killing by studying the individual muscle cells or nerve cells of a tiger, obviously. Yeah. So, and that is something that multicellular organisms can do, and why they have a certain advantage. Okay. So, I think I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to quickly summarize again what I've said. I talked here about the concept of cell differentiation, and cell differentiation is the process of stem cells becoming specialized. There is a so-called division of labor, a division of work in multicellular organisms where the cells do different things and they're specialized. However, as a disadvantage is they become more dependent on each other, the cells. And multicellular organisms also show something called emergent properties, which are characteristics that appear because different cells interact with each other. Okay, so I'm going to leave it at that. I wish you a nice day. Bye-bye.